You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Wow. Well, guys, it's a true honour to be here this morning. I just want to ask again, if you're here for the first time in LifeSpring Church this morning, can you just give me a wave? I was sat at the back with my friends earlier. If you're here for the first time, give me a wave. Wow, guys, you are so welcome. Four or five people here for the first time. We hope that you feel so welcome. I hope that you feel loved. It's a real joy to have you with us this morning. You know, as Craig rightly said, we're nutcases, but seriously, if you have a coffee with us afterwards, you'll realise that we're pretty normal. We just love Jesus lots and lots. I'm going to bring love from Pastor Nev and Pastora Jackie. They're in Bogota as we speak. Actually, I think they're probably just flying down to another place in Colombia. But they send their love the minute... About 11:45 last week, I get the text from my dad. Hi, James. And Pastor Nev. Hi, James. How are you? How was church? Was the worship good? How was the message? How was response? So Pastor Nev knows everything which is going on. And by the grace of God, last week it was super awesome. So I was able to feedback really, really well. I just really want to publicly honour my pastors. You know, it's a joy to bring the word when they're away because it shows that they trust me. So I just want to honour Pastor Nev and Pastora Jackie as they're not here. I want to honour my wife. She is amazing. She's super beautiful. She is. You know, some of you single men, you're unlucky. You missed out, man, because I'll tell you, my wife is the hottest here. There is no question about that. You know, it is such a blessing to have her. She's my biggest support. She's my biggest rock. It's a joy doing church with you, honey. I love you so much. All right, now report that back to Pastor Nev, yeah? Then I will be in his good books for another week or two. I thought we'd just start this morning just with a joke, because the word I felt the Lord bring to me is quite intense, so I thought we'd better start with a joke. So it's this. There will be a meeting of the church board immediately after the service, announced the pastor. After the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the sanctuary for the announced meeting. But there was a stranger in their midst, a visitor who had never attended their church before. My friend, said the pastor, didn't you understand that this is a meeting of the board? Yes, said the visitor, and after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else who came to this meeting. So I'm hoping that that is not going to be the case this morning. James, can we just have that clip, please?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course, the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain 1,000 lies and 1,000,000 reasons why I can't or it won't or it's not or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. Fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling.
I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope, my excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise, he gave me a calling. I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope, the past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this I will be confident. The time is now, the odds are long. The haters are loud, the pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling, I got my stone. And in the name of my God, I will overcome. In this I will be confident.
And Father God, we give you the message this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the words that you want me to say will come from my mouth and will give glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So guys, the word I want to bring this morning is quite a challenge. I don't know about you guys, but over our sanctification fortnight, I was greatly challenged. And the more meetings I came to, the more challenged I was becoming. And I thought, oh my goodness me, is this challenge just for me? Or is this challenge for the church as well? So I've entitled the message this morning, All or Nothing. Now, I just want to thank my little cousin, Simon. He made this slide for me. You know, like I was texting him on Friday, like, bro, I want to have a good background slide, you know. I was just Googling mountains, I was Googling this, that, and the other. And he came up with this background, and I said, well, I don't really understand it. He goes, all or nothing. Somebody's jumped out of a plane, hence being in this thing, so they're either going to live or die. So all or nothing. So that is the meaning of this background. But I wanted to encourage us this morning, all or nothing. So many of us, myself included, give all to Jesus on a Sunday morning. We give all to Jesus at cell group. On a Sunday, we're walking around with our arms in the air. We're coming to the cross. We're playing our instruments really well. We give our best offering. On a Tuesday at cell group, we're the first there. We get our notebook out. We take notes. We even Facebook to say how awesome cell group was and all that sort of stuff. But when we get home, we're rude to our partners. Maybe we don't handle our kids as well as we should. Maybe we watch things on the television we shouldn't. But you know, Christianity, as in true Christianity, is an all or nothing game. And that was my big challenge in the last fortnight. Is the Lord has sent James, all or nothing. Because living for Jesus isn't 2 days a week. Living for Jesus is 7 days a week. It's 24 hours a day. It's 365 days a year. You don't get a day off living for Jesus because it's all or nothing. Before we dive into the word, I was thinking of an example which might make a bit of help. Now, supposing your name was James Hollands, and supposing you were the world's best footballer, which, you know, 20 years ago, I wasn't too far off it. And supposing you had just been signed by Liverpool for a world record fee. You've been compared to Ronaldo and having the good looks of David Beckham. But before, you can see it a bit. I've got some new hair products, which Johnny Novak recommended this morning. And it's actually doing the business, because I've been wearing my cap the last few weeks. And I thought I'd better wear the take the cap off as I'm speaking today. But before you're about to sign, you sit down with the manager and you say to the manager, buddy, I will do the business for you on a Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I'm only going to train once a week. Maybe, if you're lucky, I'm going to train twice. But please have no expectations of me during the rest of the week. I'll be playing my PlayStation. I'm taking the wife shopping. I've got no time for giving it my all. What do you think the football manager would say? I guess, well, it depends how good you are, but I guess he's going to say, sorry, bud, you can go back to your own club. But you see, how many of us treat our relationships with Jesus like this? You'll see me on Sunday. You'll see me at cell group. But please don't even text me on a Wednesday. I'm out partying till 4 in the morning. Or don't even contemplate asking me to come to youth service on a Friday night. That's when I'm going drinking with my buddies. Because you see, living for Jesus is an all or nothing. And I'm challenging myself here as well. So please don't think that I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect. But living for Jesus, as I've begun to understand the last few years, it's an all or nothing game. We give it our all or we give it our nothing. I'm suggesting that everyone in front of me gives it their all. Let's look at the Word of God. I'm controlling, right? Cool. Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22 says this. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Firstly, these verses bring great challenge. And I've had this story going around in my mind for the last couple of months. But my first point I want to bring out is this, is number one, we are all searching. So the first question this rich ruler asked Jesus was, how do I get into heaven? We all want to know how to get into heaven, right? Probably every single one of us in this room wants to know how to get into heaven. If you're a visitor, you're probably in church because you've been bullied by your friends or you're wanting to know how to get into heaven. And that is exactly the same a couple of thousand of years ago when this rich ruler asked Jesus. The rich man wanted to know, how do I get into heaven? How do I get there? Obviously, 2,000 years later, and it's a bit different now how you get into heaven. But we'll go into that a bit later. But to get into the kingdom, we need to believe the gospel. But this rich man was desperate to know how to get into heaven. I love Jesus' response. The first thing he says is, "Why do you ask me?" And you can imagine this rich ruler like, "What a stupid question, Jesus. What do you mean, why do you ask me? I've heard a few of your stories, you know, those miracles you've done. It was pretty cool, the amount of people you fed with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Those healings you've done previously were amazing as well. So I guess that's why you're pretty cool and obviously pretty good." And I love Jesus' reaction. It's everything. It's all or nothing. If you were going to put it in my language. So the first point, guys, is we are all searching. Everyone wants to know what happens when we pop our clogs. Everyone wants to know what happens when our days on this earth is ending. And it is a joy for me this morning to be able to tell you what to do and what happens when you get there. But I love Jesus' reaction. Point two is it's everything. You see, I think Jesus knew this guy was a good man, but he had to double check. Have I got my rich young ruler? Where's my rich young ruler? Come on, we're going to give a quick example of a bit of what the story might have been like. He's desperate to come and meet with Jesus, aren't he? Isn't he a handsome rich ruler as well? My goodness me, I'm surprised that Jesus wanted him to give everything. Nice beard as well, bro. By the way, I trimmed it wrong yesterday, which is why it's short, so I'm a bit jealous. Anyway, Josh, no, Mr. Rich Ruler, you've got a question for me, haven't you?
Firstly,
hi, Jesus. Lovely work. Appreciate that, mate. It's been quite hard work, you know.
What do I have to do to get into heaven?
What do you have to do to get into heaven? Now, my question is, Mr. Ruler, have you murdered anyone?
No.
No? Good. Tick. Good start. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
Good man. Have you stolen?
No.
He's doing well, and 3 out of 3 so far. Well done. Have you ever lied?
No.
This guy is good. This guy is good. My gosh, 4 out of 4. Do you honor your mum and dad?
Yes.
Man alive. And do you love your neighbor as yourself? Wow, so Jesus at this point, I reckon, will know that this guy is a good man. And he is a good man. He's keeping these wonderful commandments which Jesus encourages us to teach, to do. But you see, Jesus is an all or nothing God. It's everything. So his next question is... Wow, is that the Lord coming down in physical being? I'm only pretending to be Jesus, you know, like I don't want to get struck down or anything. It's just for the drama. It's just for the fun to make it a bit more relevant. Come on. Whew. Were you all right, mate?
No, I think good. So, yeah.
Oh, that was a bit of a worry, wasn't it? Ah. Woo. I'm going to have a sip of water, I think. That was a bit daunting. Yeah, good man. See, following Jesus, good man. So, you're keeping all those wonderful commandments, my rich young ruler.
Yes,
now,
Jesus.
There's one thing. You're rich, right?
Yeah, I'm loaded.
Whoa,
yeah.
Look at all that money you got. All right, my challenge to you is to follow me. It's all or nothing. I challenge you to give up your money and give to the poor.
Can't do that.
And he just walks off into the daylight and gives the microphone and keeps his money. Because you see, living for Jesus is an all or nothing. We can't keep one thing back. We can do all these great things, but we have to give him everything. You see, often it's easy for us not to murder. It's easy for us not to steal and to keep the commandments. And the man could do that, but he couldn't give the one thing that Jesus asked him to come and follow him. What is the most important thing in your life? What is that thing in your life which you can't give up? What is that thing, guys, which is holding you back? What's the thing you know you need to give to God this morning, but you're choosing to keep it? Because to follow Jesus is all or nothing. I'm going to give an example in my life. As many of you know, about 7 years ago, my wife and I started to trying to have a baby. And it was really tricky because it wasn't working. And after 5 years, we were getting really upset. We were getting like, God, you want to give us the desires of our heart. You want to give us everything. You want us to bless. Your word says, go forth and multiply. But you're not helping us achieve this goal. And after about 5.5 years, or 6 years, we were so broken and we were so down and we were so, this isn't fair. It's happening to everyone. Some people just look at their wife and they get pregnant. And we've been trying for 6 years by now. Why isn't it happening to us? And I'll never forget the moment we were on Cromer Beach in Norfolk. We were walking down and we saw all these families and we said, God, whether we have a baby or not, we're serving you. Whoa, that was a big thing for us to say because our dream was to have our family. What happens? We started to dream again and we still said to God, God, baby or not, we're serving you. These 11 to 30s group in the church is going to grow because we're going to serve you with a child or not. We started dreaming again. Emma's going to tell me off, but she put a little pillow up her dress one time and we took a picture because we were like seeing, even though there wasn't a baby in there, God, you're going to believe. We started decorating a nursery. We started bringing down clothes from in the loft, which we'd had for 6 or 7 years. And by the grace of God, after 7 years, you could see us stood at the back with my beautiful little boy, Reuben. But you know, why did that happen? I believe because I gave everything to God. Even the thing which I was most desperate for, which probably, if I'm being honest and truthful with you guys, was above God. Because in this walk with God, it's an all or nothing game. We gave it to Jesus and he met us where he needed to meet us. Do you think that when you give everything to Jesus, he's not going to meet you? Do you think that when you give everything to Jesus, he's just going to leave you alone? When you give every single part to Jesus, he will meet you there. He will love you. He will be there for you. He will never, ever let you go. But our walk with Jesus, guys, is an all or nothing. Point three, and I like this bit about the story, is Jesus didn't push the rich ruler away. Jesus didn't say, you're not welcome. The rich ruler chose to walk away. So often, guys, it's a choice whether we give Jesus everything or not. Jesus didn't say, give me that money, give me that money, give me that money. He said, sell the money, and the man just walked off because he couldn't, because that was what number one in his life was. I often read it and think that Jesus was like, no, you're not interested in coming into heaven then because you don't want to give it up. Absolutely not. Jesus not once said that. The man walked away through his own choice. Jesus wanted that man. Jesus loved that man. Jesus wanted all of him. He wanted him. I don't know if anyone's seen the story, the video clip of Jesus and Barabbas. But it's like he wanted him. He wanted him. He wanted him. He wanted that rich man. And it's the same for us. Jesus wants you. He wants all of you. Now, this story, as we know, is specifically talking about money. But my point four is this. What if the story was called something else? What if the parable was called Jesus and the Jealous Old Man? What if the story was called Jesus and the Woman with a Poverty Mindset? What if the story was called Jesus and the Man Who Continually Gossiped? What if the story was called Jesus and the Woman with a Victim Mentality? What if the story was called Jesus and the Man Who Idolized Football? What if the story was called Jesus and the Addict? What are you holding back today which Jesus needs? What is it? There is something, I believe, in some of our lives that we're choosing to hold back and not give to Jesus. But when we choose to give that thing to Jesus, he will meet you, he will bless you, and you will see amazing things happen in your life. I know that I can testify to that because it's happened in my life. What are you holding back? What is it? Do we want to be used by Jesus to see this town changed and transformed for his glory? Yes, but what are we holding back? This is a massive challenge to me. A massive challenge to me. I'm far from it. Most of those notes are probably mine, which I gave at the cross last week. But what is holding you back? Jesus will meet you when you give him everything. One of the biggest lies in Christianity is when it says Christianity is free. Of course, it costs you no money, but it will cost you everything because it will cost your life. And when you start living for him, your life will never, ever be the same. If I was to have continued in banking 15 years ago, I'd be in a lot of money I'm on now. I'm full-time in the church. But I do so many amazing things because I've given Jesus my everything. I gave him my career. I gave him my family. I gave him everything. And when I give him everything, he met me and he's blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. So we started this morning, or the beginning of the talk, with that clip. And it was entitled, I Am Confident You Can Overcome. This morning, I want to tell you guys that I am confident because of Jesus that you can overcome. Everything in your life needs to be put at the cross. And when we live for Jesus, he will bless us and meet us. Guys, this is all or nothing. Anyone in this room feel like they know of at least one thing they need to put at the cross? Just give me a wave. I'm waving to you, by the way. Okay, so that's most of us. Most of us know that we're holding something back. I can promise you guys that when we give Jesus everything, we will see amazing things happen. I'm going to come back to that in a sec. But also, there's many new people, as we've seen in this church this morning, who may not even know who Jesus is. And it would be wrong of me not to be able to tell you who he is. Jesus, firstly, is awesome. Jesus is incredible. Jesus, about 10, 12 years ago, changed my life. Jesus is the best. Without Jesus, I wouldn't be stood here. Without Jesus, I wouldn't have a wife. Without Jesus, I wouldn't have a beautiful son. Without Jesus, I don't know where I would be. Because Jesus is awesome, and he loves me, and he loves every single one of you stood or sat in front of me or who are downstairs in the cafe area. Now, Jesus came to earth as a human being, and he lived for 33 years. The first 30 years of his life, he did some carpentry. He did some nice stuff. And for the last 3 years of his life, he did some amazing stuff enhancing and furthering the kingdom of Jesus. Now, towards the end of his life, he got battered and beaten up for you and I. You know, somebody stitched him up and somebody said, hey, this Jesus guy, he's a bit of a so-and-so. I'm going to give him to the authorities and I want him to die. So what happened is Jesus got whipped, Jesus got spat on, Jesus got battered and bruised. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, pushed it down so hard that they reckon his head would have doubled in size. Jesus would have been unrecognizable, and he did all this for you and I because he loves us and because he loves you and because he thinks you're absolutely awesome. Now that is just the beginning. Then Jesus was whipped. It says in the Bible that he was whipped 39 times. He was battered and bruised, and back in the olden days, a death sentence was 40 whips. So he was whipped 39. He would have been unrecognizable. There would have been bones hanging out of his body. And then to top it off, this amazing man who loves you guys so much and loves me so much then had to walk up to be killed upon a cross. Now, he was put on the cross, and when we see the videos, he's about that high up. Well, no. Oh, hello. No, they reckon he's about that high up. And people would have been able to see him directly in his eyes. Every time he would breathe, he would really struggle. It would hurt him. They reckon his legs would have been broken. He was a mess, and Jesus took all this horribleness for me and for you, and that is why he's so amazing. Now, that is just the beginning of the story, because it continues, because when Jesus died, he got put in a tomb, and some people were trying to roll the stone away from his tomb a few days later, and when they rolled it away, they were like, oh my gosh, he's not in there. This is incredible, because Jesus came back to life, and that's what we believe as Christians. We believe that Jesus came back to life after 3 days, and there's many accounts, not only in the Bible, but in history books, where people have seen Jesus. Do you know what? 11 of Jesus's 12 disciples got killed for their belief in him after Jesus had come back to life. Now, why did Jesus die? That is the big question. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me so that we could live with him forever. For when we choose to believe in him, every silly thing you've done in your life, which is called sin, can and will be forgiven when we choose to believe in him. But we have to do this big thing called repentance, guys. So we're walking towards this way. This is the world. This is partying. This is pornography. This is addictions. When we believe in Jesus, we make a 180 turnaround and we start focusing on Jesus again. We're saying, we're sorry for that. We're focusing on you, Jesus. That's true repentance. And that can and will happen in your lives today if you want to choose to believe in Jesus. He is amazing. He has changed my life. I couldn't live without him. God is good. For God, paraphrasing, for God sent Jesus down to die for you, and for me, and for these guys stood behind me. God loves you. So this morning, I want to give two opportunities for prayer. One, and I'm going to be stood down here as well, I know that for sure. What is that one thing you're holding back? What is it? Is it money? Is it I can't spend any money because I love money so much? Is it a poverty mindset? Is it a love of money? Money is not the problem, the love of money is the problem. Is it addiction? Is it constantly being negative about the church? Is it gossip? Is it thinking wrongly? Is it judging? Is it whatever it is? This morning, we're going to give it to God, and it's going to be gone because the idols went last week. Now, the bad things which are stopping us achieving things are going to go this week. I believe that in Jesus' name, because that's what Jesus can do. And secondly, we're going to have the opportunity for people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the first ever time this morning. It's going to be exciting in the next 5 minutes. Guys, can I encourage you to stand up, please? Living for Jesus is all or nothing. What does it say in the Bible about being lukewarm? Be spat out. Anyone want to be spat out? No, no, no. Let's be hot for Jesus. Let's live for him. Let's give him our all. Guys, I'm going to ask us, if you feel comfortable, for everyone just to hold their hands out in front of them and to close their eyes. And I'm going to say a prayer. And if you're happy to repeat after me, I would love you to do that this morning. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus down to earth. Lord Jesus, Thank you for dying upon the cross for me. Thank you for coming back to life 3 days later. This morning, I choose to believe in you. I give you my life. I want to live for you. This morning, I give you everything. Absolutely everything. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As all our eyes are closed and our hands are held out still, no one's eyes are open in this building but mine. If you said that prayer for the first time this morning, and you mean it with all your heart that you would want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, as people's eyes are closed, can you just give me a wave? Eyes are closed, just wave it quite high in the air, because there's quite a lot of people in this room and I can't quite see so much. If you just want to give your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, if you could just wave your hand high in the air, just once or twice, just so I can catch your eye, and then thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? That's two hands gone in the air. Anyone else want to give their lives to Jesus this morning? Just going to give another minute or so. I can understand this is a big decision. Thank you. It's all or nothing. We live for Jesus or we don't. You can't meet in the middle. It's too hard work. Trust me, I've tried it for too many years. It's an all or nothing. Anyone else? Three hands gone in here. Anyone else want to give their lives to Jesus? Thank you. That's four. Anyone else want to give their lives to Jesus for the first time this morning? Just give you another 15, 20 seconds. No pressure. No pressure at all. It's your decision. It's not mine. If it was my decision, I'd have all your hands in here. Last time I called, anyone else want to give their lives to Jesus for the first time this morning? Just give me a wave. You know, guys, we serve an awesome God. And what I really want to do now is, you know, one of the biggest fears of people is being worried about what others think. Would you agree with me there? Like, I'm worried that people are going to think James isn't very holy. He's got holes in his jeans, or that he's wearing silly shoes. You know, people, we worry about everything, and one of the hardest things in faith is getting out of the comfort zone from minute one. And that's what I'm going to encourage you guys to do if you put your hands up in the air. Now, what I want you to do, I saw at least four hands going here. If you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you to come to the front and stand here. If you're here for the first time on your own, please come to the front. I would love to pray for you. I'd love to shake your hand. If you're here and you're with a friend, then it's a bit easier to come up with them. Give them a little nudge and they can come up with you. But guys, if you put your hands in the air, I just ask that you would just come here. There's nothing special about this floor in front of me. Nothing special at all. I just want to encourage you guys, if you gave your life to Jesus just in the last couple of minutes, if you just come to the front, that would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, let's give applause. Let's give applause. This is amazing. This is awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? I saw another couple of hands go in the air. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. No pressure. We definitely saw another couple of people. If you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, why don't you come and join these two people who were moving from darkness into light? Who were going from not having a clue what was going on before to living with God for eternity. Anyone else want to join these two people? Just give you 30 seconds. I'm just going to grab a bit of water because I've got a bit of a sore mouth. But just 30 seconds, guys. Come up, please. No pressure, but if you'd like to, it'd be awesome. I saw the hands anyway, so I can come and see you at the end of the service. But it'd be easier for you now because we can just give all the literature and whatnot. Okay, guys, so we heard a wonderful story. What's your name, sir?
Craig.
Craig. And your name is?
Katya.
Katya. Is this your first commitment to Jesus?
Yes.
Yes? Wow. Katya, this is incredible. You know, God is going to do amazing things in your life, Katya. You know, like, sometimes, you know, God's got plans for your life. God's going to use you to achieve things you would never, ever believe could happen. And they will happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon your life like you've never known before. You never have to rely on man. You never have to rely on woman, because your reliance can be on Jesus and his Holy Spirit. He will be with you all the time. And Craig, is this your first time commitment?
Since losing my mother, yes.
Okay. So you're saying that even though my mama isn't with me anymore, I'm still going to live for you, Jesus. Wow, that's an incredible testimony. Guys, let's give these guys a round of applause. Now, I'm going to pray with you guys. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon your lives and that your lives will never be the same. So, Father God, I want to thank you this morning for Katia. I want to thank you, Father God, for Craig. I pray this morning that you fill these guys with your Holy Spirit. I pray you touch their lives like never before. I pray, Holy Spirit, you come upon Katia, you come upon Craig. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that their lives will never be the same again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that these guys were able just to come to the front and acknowledge in front of 300 people that I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to live for him. My life is never going to be the same again, because I live for Jesus. This morning, thank you, Lord God, that Katia and Craig are going to give their all to you, Lord Jesus. Father God, fill them with your Holy Spirit now, we pray. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you put your army of angels around these guys and you protect these guys from anything that the enemy wants to bring. We thank you for them and we ask that you use them in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, Maz, are you here? Yeah, cool. Guys. Now, Katia, Craig, this lovely lady is called Marion. She's awesome, by the way, so do not fear. Now, she's got a bit of literature. She just wants to go over with what you guys have just wanted to do. And she's going to give you some literature and fill out some prayer requests and all that sort of stuff. But this is a new day. What is the date today? January the 28th is a day in history for you, Katia, and a day in history for you, Craig. Your lives will never, ever be the same. Let's give our Jesus a big round of applause, guys. You see, guys, you give the people the opportunity to receive Jesus, they will. But LifeSpring Church, the majority of us in this room are saved. Are we going to be an all or nothing kind of Christian? That's a challenge, isn't it? Don't know about you. But, James, I want to watch Liverpool on Sunday afternoon instead of come to church. All or nothing. Nothing wrong with watching Liverpool, but you're giving your life to Jesus for everything or nothing. Oh, but James, you know, I can't stop partying on a Friday night. All or nothing. What? This is a challenge. I'm challenging myself. I want to give you guys the opportunity this morning. If you're in this room and you want to say, Jesus, I give you my all. Everything. Even the stuff which people can't see or the stuff people don't know about. If you want to give Jesus your all this morning, can I ask you to raise your hands in the air? Wow. Killing this water. Now what I'm going to do, if you want to give Jesus your all, I'm going to encourage you to come to the front. There's nothing special, as I said, about the front, but it's like a saying, you know, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. It's easy to wave my hand in the air. But I want to come to the front. And I'm going to really just say, Jesus, today I give you my all. So if you raised your hand in the air, I want to encourage you guys to come to the front. If you're saying this morning, Jesus, I give you my all. Even the bits people can't see, for goodness sake. Even the stuff I do at home, which no one can see. Even the stuff that people don't know about. Even my fake Facebook profile or my fake Twitter, whatever. Even that stuff, we're saying, Jesus, I give you my all. It's everything or nothing. If it's nothing, I still love you. But if you want to give everything, your life will never, ever be the same again. Because we're in an all or nothing thing. There's a bit more room down my your left-hand side, guys, if you want to squeeze up. There's a bit of room in the middle. Yes. Guys, I want to ask that you hold your hands out in front of you this morning. You know, I'm so proud of you guys. Not that it makes any difference whether I'm proud of you or not. But when people see, I don't know how many people in front of me, 150 people in front of me, who are saying, God, I give you my all, this nation will change. But you know what? It's all very well, as I was saying earlier. We're saying, yeah, God, on a Sunday morning, I'll give you my oh, woohoo. And on a Monday, you start being rude to your wife. You start telling your kids you don't love them, all this sort of stuff. This is a, oh, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. This is what all means. Of course we're going to make mistakes. No one's perfect apart from Jesus. Of course we know that. But we're choosing to say, Jesus, I give you my all. Father, God, this morning, I thank you for this group of people. Lord Jesus, this morning we declare that you are victorious. And because you are victorious, I am victorious. And so those areas in my life which I'm choosing to give you this morning, I believe that they can be gone this morning in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and you touch every single one of us. That you touch our lives again this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to give you everything. We don't want to hold back a single thing. We want to live for you with everything. We don't want to live with you for 60%. We want to give you 100%. So Lord Jesus, we love you. We declare that you're the winner. We declare that I am victorious. We declare that everything we give to you can and will be gone today in Jesus' name. Now, guys, just as you're stood in front of me, just whisper or just say in your heads, Lord Jesus, this is what I'm giving you this morning because I want to give you everything. Just tell Jesus what you're giving him this morning. Jesus, I give you my all this morning. I give you my life. I give you my work. I give you my family. I give you everything, Lord Jesus, because I want to live for you to make a difference in this town. Holy Spirit, come down, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And guys, we're going to sing a song, and I encourage you not to run away. I encourage you as we're singing this song, I'm not even sure what the song is, but we're going to declare that I'm a winner. We're going to declare that I'm victorious. We're going to declare that I give Jesus everything.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.